Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Big Topic, where we talk to each other about the question, should we have another child? And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 110. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
How are you doing this week? And how old is that adorable toddler of yours?
She is 19 months old. And girl, I'm frazzled. I am so frazzled.
Really?
Just, I know we're not really talking too much in the regular episodes about the pandemic and the quarantine and everything, but the truth still is, like, I'm spending every single day of my life with my one-year-old and my four-year-old at home all day while working, you know, not going anywhere. And it's just, it's fun. It's nice to be around them more. But sometimes I'm just like, just exhausted to the max.
I feel you. Well, I feel like when we started doing the bonus episodes for the quarantine and like keeping coronavirus out of our main episodes, I don't think we realized how long it was going to last.
I know. And I was very hopeful it would wrap up in 2 weeks.
I was not. Oops. I mean, I didn't think it would happen. I was hopeful it would, but I didn't think it would. But I think the truth is that I've noticed also we have just sort of started creeping in with this discussion of the quarantine because there's no way to avoid it. Like, it's just,
yes,
it's part of our lives now. We can't do stuff like go to the zoo or drop our kids off with the grandparents or any of that stuff, you know?
So, we're just on 24/7, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm up and down. Sometimes I have tons of energy and I can just like entertain those kids all day. And then some days I'm so tired. And today is a day I'm tired.
Yeah.
I just want to admit it up front because it's the reality, I think, for a lot of parents right now, that some days are just a little bit more of a slog.
Yeah, totally. I think that's true for everyone, even if you're not a parent. You know, it's just the monotony. It gets you, but especially us parents, especially parents like you and Steve who are working full-time jobs on top of taking care of two kids full-time, like, there's no way to explain it other than it's just like, it's hard work. You guys, and it was not something you signed up for either.
No. But it's good. And I think one of the reasons I'm so drained right now in particular, this was the next thing I was going to move into, is I was going to give you an update about Cece's separation anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
That I talked about a while back. Yeah, it hasn't changed. She is still so clingy and needy for me, which is so adorable and wonderful on one hand, but can really, really drain me on the other, because it's like I can't even get up and leave the room to go to the bathroom. I tell her. I mean, I ride the shit out of this. I'm like, okay, I'm going to the bathroom. You can come with me. I'll be right back. I mean, I explain everything and it doesn't matter. She'll, mama, 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 and then she'll follow me a couple steps. I'm like, I really, really, really got to pee. And so I hurry to the bathroom and she like follows me and then just like collapses on the floor crying because I walked away. And just absorbing that amount of big emotion constantly is a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
I will say that her sleep regression has gotten a lot better, though.
Oh, good.
Right? I attributed it to the separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. And we kind of nipped that in the bud. You know, she's, knock on wood, gotten a lot better at going to bed. I think putting a book in her bed was huge for us.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, helping her feel okay with me leaving.
Is it one particular book every night, or is it like you rotate them through?
We rotate. I give her the choice. I'm like, what book do you want to put in your bed? And usually she picks the book that's like 12 inches by 12 inches, like the size of her body. And I'm like, no. Let's do a tiny book. So that's good. Like, I can put her down and she doesn't scream for me when I leave. It's just she screams for me all day throughout the day if I take one step away from her.
And of course, you're there all the time.
So much, though. Yes. But one really cool thing about her that I am just loving lately, a new development, is she is getting so brave. I've mentioned before, she's a little bit more hesitant than Elle, right? She doesn't really like to dive into messy foods or paints. When we first put out like a little kiddie pool, she was, you know, real unsure of it. Mm-hmm. And I would put a slide going into the kiddie pool and she was just like, no. But I've noticed about her, as soon as she like gets over the hump of her initial fear,
yeah,
she goes for it with gusto. And I am so proud of her. The other day we set up the like the little pool party in our backyard, which is just a couple kiddie pools and a slide going into the water. She just was like, I'm doing it. And she didn't have to hold anyone's hand. She just climbed up on the slide, slide down. Her whole full body got wet and she's just laughing.
Aww.
And it was like, it's so cool to see the progression of like feeling a little bit shy to,
yeah,
you know, pushing herself to then finally really enjoying it. And I'm just so happy to see that.
You know, I've noticed that in my guy as well. It's so funny mm-hmm. to me because he has, I mean, since he was about 6 months old, he's had some weird fears. Like, mm-hmm. he was terrified of a beach ball.
In, oh, yeah, I remember,
do you remember that.
Uh-huh.
And we went to, my mom was in town staying at a hotel, and we went to the pool, and someone had a beach ball that they were throwing around, and he was terrified of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day we went back, and he, like, wanted to see it. Like, he was interested, oh. And I've noticed, like, that was the first time I noticed it, but I've noticed it since then that he will get scared of something and then intentionally, like, expose himself to it to get over
oh,
it, which is
cool.
So cool. Like, the most recent example was my mom has a cockatiel, and when uh-huh. we went up to Fresno to visit her, my mom has no boundaries with this bird. This bird, like, doesn't even really like anyone. Like, it's there's a lot of argument over who actually, like, got the bird. Like, my mom blames my brother. My brother says he didn't get the bird. My mom feels stuck with the bird, but she likes the bird. The bird's name is Sydney. Okay. Uh-huh. And he's not, like, a very nice bird. He sat on my finger, like, once or twice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she had my toddler in her arms and she was like, do you want to see the birdie? And he was like, you know, he was like, birdie. Yeah. And he wants to go. And my mom was like, Sydney, come out here. Sydney, Sydney, Sydney. And it irritated the bird. And the bird like hissed and kind of snapped at my toddler. And, you know, understandably, he didn't get bitten or anything. But, you know, he got scared and he cried. Apparently I was out. I was like off trying to rest. And like I come out 20 minutes later and the baby is outside with Corey and my mom, and they're like, we had a moment with the bird, we're fine now, but he was really upset and needed to get some outside time. Like, apparently he just cried and cried and cried. So later that day, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, he doesn't want anything to do with this bird, he was like eyeing the bird. And then I put him down and he walks towards the bird cage and he goes cheep 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 cheep, and he like wanted to see the bird. He like intentionally,
yeah.
And I was like, whoa, you are facing your fears.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. It's
so fascinating. And the same thing with Cece with the big bounce house that we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what an intimidating thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like I moved everything out of the living room, put this ginormous thing, this blower. It's like, brrr, and then it pops up, you know, at the end when like it's fully inflated. And she was just like, giant eyes, like mm-hmm. would not go in it, sitting on my lap. She does this cute thing. She like chews on her fingers when she's nervous a
aww.
Little bit. And oh, my heart just like, it just melted for her to see like her feeling a little timid and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, sweetie, it's okay. You don't have to go in it. And then like the next time, you know, we blew it up, she was like, boom, in there jumping. I was like, good for you, girl. That's amazing. That's awesome.
I wish I had that kind of resilience.
Ugh, me too. Me too. And then the last tiny check-in, you know, her vocabulary is just exploding and she's got tons of new words, but I like to mention the ones that catch me off guard or just seem so random. I was giving her a bath the other night and she picked up, Elle has a pair of goggles in mm-hmm. there, and Cece was like picking up all the different toys, and then she picks that up and hands it to me and she goes, goggle. And I was like, what? Like, literally no one has talked to her about goggles as far as I know. You know, it's not like I tried to teach her that word. She's just seen them, I guess. And I don't know, heard Elle talk about it. So I was just like, okay, we're going to add goggles to your list. Interesting.
Are you actually keeping a list?
Oh, no. I was. And then, you know, I'm a little bit busy and overwhelmed.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to, though, because, you know, it's really cool to really see in one glance what all they can say. But it's hard to keep up with stuff with the second kid, man. Sorry, baby. but yeah, it's so cool to just be reminded again that they're absorbing everything.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't need to actively teach them everything. They are just learning as they live.
That is a great reminder because I feel like, especially like we talk about in this quarantine, you see all this like Pinterest shit where it's like creating like preschool for your kids, basically, and like all these very structured activities, which if you have the time and energy to do it, sure, like go for it. It's not like it's bad, but I don't have the energy and my toddler does not have the focus for that type of stuff right now. And it's a good reminder to know that like just living your life and playing is teaching them everything they need to know.
Yep. They learn so much from playing. That's why a lot of preschools are play-based. Let them explore and, you know, explore their interests and stuff. So I try to remember that so that I can let myself off the hook a little bit. Because, you know me, I tend to be a perfectionist and want to try to, you know, organize things and do things right. And sometimes I just got to be like, it's just free play. Enjoy yourselves.
Go nuts.
Go nuts.
You'll figure out how to say goggles.
Yeah, exactly. The important skills in life. So that's all for us this week. What about you guys? What are you up to?
We're great. So my toddler is 18 months and 1 week, and we don't have a lot of big check-ins this week. We are just sort of chugging along. But when you mentioned these words that are showing up, it reminded me that, you know, his words are just flowing as well. Like, I can't keep track. I was keeping a journal of all of his words, and they're coming so fast now. I'm like, I don't have time to add to them. So I think what I'm going to put in the journal is like maybe some highlights, you know, like when he said statue and, you know, like. But one that I wrote down this week that I thought was really cute is that he has a sleep sack, which has like a lot of little cartoony things on it. It's like, it's got like bears and trees and triangles and little arrows and stuff on them. Bikes. Oh, bikes. He's obsessed with the bikes. So he's like, bike-a, bike-a. But one night right before bed, I put his sleep sack on and he just points at it and goes, Ewo. And
what?
I was just like, that was not one we were even trying to teach him. You know, we'd be like, what's that? Pointing at the bike and he'd go, bike-a, you know, bear. Sort of the bigger, more obvious icons, if you know, basically. And the arrows are just little decorative things around, and I swear we never were like, we're like, there's an arrow, there's a triangle, but there's the bear, there's, and he was just like, Ewo, and I was like, okay.
that's incredible.
So just the little things, and it's so cute too, because you can tell he's so happy when he's able to finally say a word. Like, it makes you wonder how long it's been percolating, you know? So that was very fun and cute. And I swear it's like he's picking up a new word like every hour or so. Like, he'll just sort of blurt something out and be like, okay. So I guess you can say that now.
Ugh, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I love the little like lisps in a way, you know, like, Ewo.
So cute.
Very cute. So, but yeah, I feel ya on this quarantine fatigue. I feel it too, and I'm not working full time like you are. I have little gigs here and there. I edit the podcast. I had this big writing assignment this week that was really just so hard to get done. I had to do all these interviews for it. I wrote an article for Parents Magazine, and it turned into me having to set up three or four Zoom interviews with pairs of people, and scheduling that, trying to work it around the toddler's naps. Amazingly, it all worked out great.
Oh, good.
I was able to get everyone on the phone or on the Zoom. And I did have one. I put in the Zoom meeting request, like audio only, but there was one person who was just like, no, we're gonna be on video. And I was like, okay.
Now I have to put on makeup.
Oh, I didn't.
That's what I always think about those kinds of meetings.
Well, I didn't know it was going to be like, I said audio only. I'm the one in charge of the meeting. And then the woman's like, well, I'm going to turn my video on because I just like people to see me. And then what are you supposed to do? Be like, well, I'm not going to. So I was like, all right, fine. I was fine. I like quickly looked at my surroundings.
Yeah. I got to check that out too.
Yeah. But It's just hard. And so I'm sort of in this phase where we're just now trying to just do stuff, anything that we can to like keep ourselves busy. Like you're getting the bounce house and all this stuff, and our house just doesn't accommodate. Like there's really just no more stuff we can put in the house. So I am trying to look outside of the house for stuff to do. So
yeah,
this week we discovered that there we live really close to Caltech, the California Institute of Technology. And I had never really like explored the campus, but I had seen on my little like Pasadena Moms group that like people were like, oh, it's great to explore. And there's no students right now. Everyone's home because of the coronavirus. And it's like wonderful to just explore. And there's not a lot of car, you know, it's like a very protected campus. So I was like, oh, well, let's try that. Cool. And it turns out they have a turtle pond.
Oh, awesome.
So we went to Caltech and wandered around. And honestly, it was really nice. It made me want to go back to like grad school because I was just like, I love being on campuses. They're so nice.
They are nice. Yeah.
So nice. And there are all these little like carts, like the campus. I don't know. We even know what you call it, like the grounds. You know, the people who like take care of the buildings and take
care
of the grounds.
Golf carts?
Yeah, little golf carts, but they're like souped up golf carts. You know, they're like a little bigger and they're bright orange. They were everywhere. And so my toddler was just like, chukka, 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 chukka. Like so excited by the trucks. And then we went to the turtle pond and there must be 100 turtles in this pond. It's a little pond. So they all think you're going to feed them. So they come right out and like stand at your feet and look at you. So that was really a fun thing. I was like, if you can't go to the zoo, find a turtle pond.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. So that was fun. And the other hit we've had this week is playing with crushed ice.
Oh, that's a huge hit in my house too. So good.
I hadn't done it because my ice maker doesn't crush ice very fine. And I'm always afraid of him like choking on it because he wants to put them in his mouth.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, you know what? He's bigger now. And before he like dies of asphyxiation, it'll probably melt, right?
That's what I always told myself. Yeah.
So I just gave in because every time I get ice, he's like, ice, ice, ice. So I'm like, okay. So one day I just like stood him in his learning tower, gave him a bucket full of crushed ice. And I swear he stood there for an hour playing with the crushed ice. I had to keep re-upping it because it ended up on the floor. But
so fun. Yeah, we call it ice play in our house. It's like, do you want to do ice play? I'm like, good. Something mommy can relax for 5 minutes.
I know. I was so happy. And when you clean it up, you get like an accidental floor mopping.
There you go. Perfect.
You know, the floor gets all wet and you wipe it up.
It's like, so, oh, there's a clean spot now. Hooray.
Like there's one little clean spot around where his learning tower was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it this week because we are really scraping the bottom of the barrel here for stuff to do. Anyway, so yeah, that was my week with lots of new words. We saw some turtles and trucks and discovered the joys of crushed ice.
Yay! Sounds good. Well, let's move on to our special segment after this quick break.
Okie doke.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, so we are back, and this week's special segment is a big topic. And this is a big, big topic, Shauna.
Yes, I'm excited.
The big topic is deciding to have another baby. Why, how, whether. Weather's the big one.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to know. I know you, we all know that you've had two kids.
Yes.
And I think you talked about it a little bit on your episode where you discuss your IVF journey, your fertility journey. The title of that episode is When Getting Pregnant is Hard AF. That was on episode 21, if anyone wants to go back and listen. But it's been a while. And I would love to be reminded, sort of like, how did you decide to try for Cece, basically, after Elle?
Okay, good question. Let me dig through the memories of my clouded brain.
Well, I guess I should say, did you always want more than one kid?
I don't know. I was not fully committed to the idea. I had Elle and she was just wonderful, fantastic, as you guys all know. And I feel like, you know, I felt like, well, she could be enough. But something crept in when she was around maybe like 12, 13 months or so. When she was in the toddler phase and mm-hmm. out of the baby phase, right? Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I want another baby. Like just baby. I just wanted that little snuggly smoosh. And so I got baby fever pretty bad.
You got that baby fever.
Mm-hmm. And I think Steve was a little bit more like, I don't know. Can we afford it? Should we? You know, we're such a great little threesome. Will it mess up our vibe? You know, all the things that you worry about having another kid. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm going to stop my birth control and it'll just be like a we'll see kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a hard time getting pregnant with Elle. Chances are we probably won't even like get pregnant. And we made kind of a half-assed attempt at trying. And as I talk about in episode 21, I actually did get pregnant when Elle was about 14 months old. And that was kind of a surprise because we weren't really trying all that hard. And I think Steve was like, oh, shit. and I was like, perfect, because I want my kids to be 2 years apart and blah, 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 blah. But I did have a miscarriage with that one. And after that, like maybe 2 weeks after, I swear, my way of coping maybe was just like, oh, I do definitely want a second baby. Like that was the time I finally felt sure, because I had gotten so excited about it, you know, being pregnant and like thinking of my family expanding and all of this stuff. And I was just like, I got to make this happen if I can. But of course, I was terrified of trying to get pregnant naturally again, because I'd had two miscarriages by natural pregnancies. And so that's when I looked into IVF and found out that, you know, I could test the embryos for the, you know, chromosomal abnormalities beforehand. And like once that, like all the stars aligned and like insurance would pay for IVF and just was like once I made up in my mind that I definitely wanted a second kid, all those stars aligned to help me like get on that path. And at that point, I don't know what Steve would say about this, but I feel like I was the conductor of that train 100%. You know, it's just like, he was like, either way. And I'm like, we're doing this. So, yeah, that's how we went from one to two.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then the question is, what are your thoughts on two to three?
Well, I half joke with Steve all the time that I want another baby, because the same thing happened to me this time around. As like, Cece's now a toddler and oh my God, I just want a tiny baby. And I look back at their baby pictures and I'm like, baby, 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 baby. I'm like, Steve, I want a baby. And he's just like, no, please. And I'm like, I know. I don't want three. I feel like that would be too much. I mean, having two high energy kids is, you know, it's a lot anyway. And to add a third to the mix might be bananas. But I do still have embryos on ice, which I've mentioned before.
Yeah.
So I always am like, I don't know, Steve, we've got those embryos on ice. But yeah, just for financial reasons and energy and all of that stuff. I'm older now too. And I just feel really, really wonderful with the family of four and like we're complete. And now I'm transferring all of my baby fever to kitten fever. I'm just like, all of a sudden I'm like, we need a kitten.
Oh, that is something I can totally get behind.
I just really, really, really want a kitten. I have two dogs and getting a kitten would be a terrible idea right now. But
no, it's a great idea. Get a kitten. Sorry, I'm an enabler.
I think I will get a kitten soon, but I don't know. It's a lot right now. We've got a wild household.
So yeah, I will say, and you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. Get two kittens.
Oh, good God. Why? What?
I told you you'd think I was crazy, but they play with each other and are less crazy than if you just have one that like tears your house apart. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well, what if I have one kitten, two dogs, and young children?
That's true. That might cancel it out. That's true. And you're home all day, too. So, like, that advice I tend to give to people who, like, go off to work. So, it might be different. You're right.
this is actually the perfect time probably to get a kitten because we are at home all the time.
Oh, it's 1,000% the perfect time. I think this is a great idea. Also, there are so many kittens right now. It's kitten season. Shelters are overflowing with kittens. Yeah. Yep.
Can we patch Steve in on the line so you can convince him to?
Do you follow our friend Amy on Instagram? Everyone.
Oh, yeah. Everyone on Facebook.
Everyone should follow her. She works with a cat rescue, and she posts all these adorable cats on, it's at Who Dis Baby, WHODISBABY, and it's all just kitten content, so if you're a cat person, and it's really funny. She's a friend of ours from, like, the storytelling community. She's fantastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if you're in the LA area, too, she works with a great rescue. But, yeah, Amy's got, like 8 kittens right now in her house.
Oh, my gosh.
Just saying.
Wow. Oh, my God. I want a kitten so bad. But then the kitten will grow into a cat, and then I'll be like, I need another kitten.
Nah, they're
basically
cute.
I just want tiny. What I really need are those real-life baby dolls, maybe. Just one of those that are very lifelike so that I can snuggle it all the time.
There you go.
But yes, I always say we're 2 and through as far as kids go.
Do people ask you a lot?
No, they don't really. That's usually good. You would think, like, especially if you have 2 girls, the thing to say is, are you going to try for that boy?
Yeah.
But actually, I haven't gotten that too often. So probably because they look at me and they're like, oh, you're an old lady. I'm just kidding.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So that is my journey. What about you, Laura? You have one delicious, perfect little toddler. What are you guys thinking? What's going on with you and Corey as far as expanding the family with kids, not cats?
Well, I think for me, I've always wanted to. My brother and I are really, really close. And I just always had this idea that having, you know, 2 kids is better than 1, which is definitely not a universal thought. And, you know, our friend Carrie, she's a one and doneer, and she thinks I'm crazy.
You know, I didn't know that about Carrie. Okay.
Yeah. She's always wanted 1 kid and that's it. That we would joke before she got pregnant. I was like, you're totally going to end up with twins. But yes. So I always thought, you know, just sort of abstractly that's what we would do. But when it came to sort of concrete decisions, it's hard because, you know, having an infant is hard. And it's interesting you say that, you know, there's something that happens when they turn into toddlers that you sort of get that baby fever, because I definitely, you know, people from, like, I think I remember being newly home from the hospital and people were like, so you're gonna have another one? I was like, are you kidding me? My what? Like incision is still healing. Like, what is wrong with you?
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, when my baby was an infant, I wasn't thinking that. I was just like, oh, God, I could, like, it just, the idea actually kind of seemed, like, repulsive to me. Like, oh, my God, I can't, like, I can barely handle this one. Like, leave me alone. But something happens around that first birthday when they start, you know, they start walking and being independent.
Yeah.
It's got to be hormonal to an extent.
I wonder if it is. Yeah.
You know, because I was just like, I want a squish. I want a little squish, you know, like, I want a little baby.
Oh.
But, you know, I was also still feeling so overwhelmed. So it was kind of hard for me to actually even articulate to myself whether I wanted to do something. And, you know, I got an IUD 6 weeks postpartum, something like that, or maybe it was a little later. I don't exactly remember. But postpartum, I got an IUD, and it's extremely effective. So it's not like I can just sort of, like, see what happens. You know, I'd have to go to the doctor to get it out and stuff. So it was a discussion. And also, I have to have a discussion with Corey. It can't just be a let's just see if there's a oops, you know? So, yeah, it was hard for me to even know when to bring it up. But I have to say that when my toddler was the same as you, like around like 13, 14 months, I was like, you know what? I probably need to get on this, because my brother and I were 20 months apart, and I always loved that spacing for us. Like, I always thought it was so great. And
yeah,
I did the math and I was like, shit, we're past that. Like, if I want to have a baby that's, you know, 2 years younger than my toddler, like, we got to get on this. And I'm older, I'm turning 38. Like, how is this going to work? And so I was surprisingly nervous.
So how did you go about bringing that up with Corey, or was he expressing interest, or where were you both at that point?
Well, I had kind of like dropped little comments about like, well, if we, you know, like when we were packing up baby items, like the jumperoo, he doesn't use the jumperoo anymore.
Yeah.
And Corey's like, do we want to give it to someone? I was like, well, what about number two? And he's like, oh yeah. So like, it wasn't, it wasn't like a complete surprise, but I actually, we went out to dinner for Valentine's Day, like not on Valentine's Day, but like somewhere around it. My mom was babysitting and I was like, over our pasta and wine, I was like, so should we talk about number two? And I was super nervous about it because, you know, if he said, you know, he could have said, you know, I don't see how we can do it. I'm so stressed. I can't handle it. I think I don't want to roll the dice. I'm in my 40s, you know, whatever. I would have had to accept that. And that would have, I think, would have been devastating to me. Right. So I was really nervous that what he would say would like really alter my future. And it, I guess it would either way. But thankfully, I like brought it up and I was like, so what do you think about maybe number two? And he's like, oh, yeah, I always thought number two was in the cards. Like,
oh, yeah. So,
and he was like, I don't think there will ever be a right time. So might as well do it now. I was like, ooh, okay.
What a good attitude. Yeah. That's great.
Well, it also, it was a good reminder that we have been on the same page, you know? Mm-hmm. It just, we hadn't like explicitly talked about it, but it had obviously been on his mind too. So, yeah, so we had that discussion in February.
Aww. Okay, so that was February and now is July. So what's happened since then?
Why don't we talk about that after a quick break?
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at loolavie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Okay, we're back. And Laura, you just told us that you broached the topic of having a second baby with your husband, Corey. And he was like, yeah, cool. No bigs.
Basically.
So what did you do next? What happened?
Well, I went and got my IUD out.
Oh, dang. You got like cut right to the chase.
Pretty much. I just called my doctor. I was like, look, I'm not getting any younger. I'm currently 9 weeks pregnant, Shauna.
Air horn.
Oh, don't pretend like you didn't know.
I do know already. but I'm so excited. I know. Yes.
This whole big topic was all so that we could have this big reveal.
Yeah.
And to discuss it. No, we really wanted to discuss this.
Yes.
Yes, we've been pretending. I've been keeping it to myself. Obviously, because I didn't want to reveal too early, as everyone knows. But we have not forgotten about you, listeners, because we've actually been recording secret bonus episode content.
That's right.
Since February 14th, I think. I went to, quote unquote, Valentine's dinner on the 13th. And like the next day, I told you about it. Yeah. I told Corey, I was like, oh, by the way, is it okay if I talk about this on the podcast and we release it, like if I ever get pregnant, basically? So, and he's cool with it.
We're going to have two bonus episodes. First is your trying to conceive journey, right? Mm-hmm. Where we check in periodically about your TTC journey and what you're doing and what your efforts are. And then we have an early pregnancy diary special bonus episode where we've been recording every week, checking in with you and tracking what's been going on since you got pregnant. Because I feel like I've known since 2 days after you found out or something.
Probably like the next day. Yeah, you've known since I've known, basically. Yeah. And so we've been documenting it from the beginning. We documented the 2 week wait we documented, and then from the point that I knew I was pregnant all the way up till 9 weeks. So that'll be in another bonus episode coming out later this week. So you can listen to that. And then next week, I'm going to start doing pregnancy check-ins on the show again.
Yay!
It brings so much nostalgia up in me. I'm like, it's like the early days of Big Fat Positive.
I know. Oh my gosh. Well, I am super excited and I'm so happy for you guys, and I cannot wait to continue the journey on our podcast with you.
Me too, me too.
On that note, should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our BFPs and BFNs. Laura, what do you got for us this week?
I have a BFP.
Okay.
You know, it's obvious that I have a Big Fat Positive, but
literally.
Literal Big Fat Positive.
Yeah.
So my Big Fat Positive for this week is the Clear Blue Digital Ovulation Predictor Kit.
Oh, girl, that thing has worked miracles for you.
Yes. So I don't know. I know I've talked about it before, but I don't know if it was ever my BFP. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, that it happened before the podcast, right? Like,
Right.
There is this thing. It's an ovulation predictor that every morning you pee on a stick, and it tests two hormones, estrogen and LH. And a lot of the ovulation test strips only test LH, your luteinizing hormone. Mm-hmm. And the first time I was trying to conceive, I was using those cheapo LH strips from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 months, it didn't work. And then I went and got this Clear Blue Digital Ovulation Predictor Kit, which was recommended to me by my friend who it worked. She actually gave me her leftover test strips because she was like, it worked on the first month for me. So I have all these extras, which is great because they're actually kind of pricey. Like it's not cheap, but it's cheaper than fertility treatments.
Yes.
Which is what I remind myself. Uh-huh. It's like $40 or $50 for a kit. I think you might be able to get it cheaper on Amazon. But the key is to get the one that tests both estrogen and LH.
Okay. And why is that important?
Well, for me, I discovered that, you know, technically your LH is supposed to spike right before you ovulate. Mm-hmm. But for me now, both times, my LH didn't spike or at least be detectable in my urine for like 2 days after I actually ovulated.
What?
So now that I've had two pregnancies that have been confirmed by very early dating, mm-hmm. you know, I discovered that the day I thought I was ovulating based on the calendar and based on the LH mm-hmm. is like 2 days later than when I actually ovulated.
Wow.
Which is a big deal when you're trying to get pregnant because
yes.
it doesn't help to have sex like after
no.
you ovulate. You have to do it before and like right before. Mm-hmm. So this time it worked again. So Yay. I'm just saying that if you are trying to conceive and not having a lot of luck, it couldn't hurt to try this ClearView Digital Ovulation Predictor Kit. We'll put a link on BigFatPositivePodcast.com, of course, but mm-hmm. it really did work for me. So
is this a new product? Because I feel like when I was trying to conceive L for a couple years, you know, I consulted the internet and it's all this stuff like use this right kind of lube and take your temperature every morning. Mm-hmm. And like this kit just sounds like the simplest solution, but I did not come across it.
You know, I hadn't come across it either until my friend recommended it to me. So this is why I'm telling everyone. It's also easy because it kind of gets lost in all the other kits. Mm-hmm. And it's like they don't do the best job marketing that it tests two hormones. Mm. But so what happens is they tell you, like, there's a little smiley face. So, like, if you don't have either hormone peaking, it gives you a circle. Mm-hmm. And if you have one of them starting to rise, it gives you a, like, flashing smiley face. And then mm-hmm. if you have a peak of both, it gives mm-hmm. you a solid smiley face.
Okay.
So what worked for us is that, you know, once we started getting the blinky smiley face, mm-hmm. we started to try.
Okay.
Right? And that's what ended up working. So, right. you know, what it is it just kind of made us have sex more, basically.
Uh-huh. Well, that's usually what leads to pregnancy.
It's true, but, mm-hmm. you know, on the right days, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. This sounds like the best kept secret, and everyone who's trying to conceive, go out and buy it. This is not an ad. This is
not
just
an ad. Although Clear Blue, call us up. I'm always telling people, if you companies, if you want us to endorse you, we will take your money.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that is my BFP. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was a little worried if you had a BFN. I thought it would be a downer.
It would be a downer. This is just weird and random, but it's an activity that I did with the family this week.
Uh-huh.
And it is bobbing for apples.
Wow.
In the backyard. Okay, so the reason really it's my BFP is because it was Elle's idea, right? Uh-huh. We were reading a book and the characters were bobbing for apples. And she's like, what is that? And I was like, oh, that's bobbing for apples. Like, for some reason, like, you put a bunch of water and some apples in a big tub and dip your face in and try to catch the apple. And I was like, I won an apple bobbing contest when I was in third grade at a Halloween party. And I was always like the best apple bobber. And it made me nostalgic. And then she's like, I want to bob for apples. And my instinct was to be like, ugh, I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, it's such a random thing. And like, I don't know. For some reason, I associate it with like fall activities and
yeah.
it's the middle of summer. And it just seemed really out of left field. But I took a second and I was like, why don't I just indulge her ideas? You know, like she contributes mm-hmm. to this family too and what we do for activities. And sometimes she has cool ideas. And so I was like, all right. And I went the next day.
You yes-anded her.
I did. Oh, my improv training finally came in handy.
For people who don't know about like improv, the first rule is you say yes and, right?
Mm-hmm.
You yes-anded her.
I did. So the next day we had like a big ice tub for drinks for a party, right? I pulled it out of the garage. We filled it with water and whatever apples we had in the house. And I tried uh-huh. to teach her how to bob for apples. And it was hilarious. The whole family was out there. And it was so funny, like sticking our faces in water. And, you know, she's like, Mama, you do it. And I was like, my instinct was to be like, no, you know, I already showered, whatever. But then I was like, no, do this, right? And so I like stuck my face in this freaking water and like struggled to breathe and find an apple. And I was like, holy shit, how did I win this contest when I was in third grade? Probably cheating. Who knows? Because it was hard to catch a freaking apple that's just bobbing around in water. And I eventually got it. And then Steve did it. And we were just like all soaking wet. And Elle did it. And Cece was just like eating apples. And just like lots of laughs and a really fun family time because I allowed myself to, you know, do something I wouldn't necessarily do. And just like listen to the ideas of my little girl. So it taught me a lesson too as well to just like be open to different things.
Yeah, I definitely get that instinct too where it's just like, ugh, it's going to be a whole thing and you got to clean it up. And I don't even know if we have apples. And then you're just like, wait a second. It's almost, it's like a little example of like choose the bigger life. Yeah. You know, because what's the real problem with bobbing for apples?
Yeah,
what, you got water everywhere?
Yeah, I got water on my face that I'd already put, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea.
Words today.
What did you put on your face?
I'm going to get water on my face that I've already put my tinted moisturizer and mascara on. It's like, who cares? It was so fun and funny to do it. I highly recommend it. If you have a drink tub and apples, just go for it with your kids because it's fun.
I will say during coronavirus quarantine, this should be a family-only activity.
Yeah. So
I actually can't believe. It's one of those things like when you think about like blowing out candles on a cake. It's like, I can't believe a whole school class was allowed to dunk their face in the same, you know, like have their like mouths root around for the same apples. And
oh my God, that's so true. And it really
it's a relic of another era.
Gives me the willies thinking about it now. But yeah, then it was just like, no big deal. I mean, even if this were last year, I'd probably be like,
oh yeah,
dunk your face in, everybody.
Yeah.
No, not so much.
But, you know, in the family, it does sound fun.
Yes, it was very fun. And I may have some pictures and videos that I can share of the little
event. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. And that's it. I
awesome.
Have nothing else to say.
Sweet. Well, listeners, stay tuned for our bonus episodes later this week.
Yes.
You can hear all about my TTC journey and my early pregnancy. But for now, I think we're ready to wrap it up.
Let's do it. If you guys have any thoughts on having additional children, we would love to hear them and know where you're at. Laura, how can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group that's very active. It's a private group, so just search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, answer the two questions that are on there, and I will happily add you. You can also find our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, or send us a voice memo or just a plain old email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen. That's so helpful to get new listeners and spread the word. If you know anyone who's trying to conceive, pregnant, or parent, let them know about our show. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. But weren't you supposed to go second in the special segment?
Oh, you're right. I am.
Did we figure it out and then sit down and record it wrong?
Yes. Let's see. Oh, I think we did.
That is freaking hilarious.
Yeah, we did. We did it wrong.